All right, in 1 Timothy, the first chapter, no, 2 Timothy, in the first chapter in the 7th verse, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Attitudes. I know as I look at this audience and I see all the smiling faces and all the happiness that exist, that we do develop attitudes sometimes, don't we? And sometimes we need a good attitude, and sometimes we need a bad attitude. And you say, that sounds rather strange. Everybody kind of looked up when you said bad attitude. Not everybody goes around on top side. And so we want to look at some things. Everything in life will depend upon our attitude. Did you ever think about that? How our attitude is. And we see folks who, every time you see them, they appear to have a good attitude. Everything seems to be going well for them, and they handle that. But you know, some folks, it'll take a broken shoestring. You get up in the morning, you're a little bit behind, and you still have shoes that you lace up, and you bend over, and you start lacing up, and that shoestring pops. And you say, ugh. And so now you have to go back and rethread, and the two ends don't meet now. And so you have to tie a knot in it. And so, you know, and we get all uptight, and we're behind anyway. And you get out the door, and then you realize you haven't shaved or you hadn't done that. You know, it just kind of snowballs on you. And so your attitude for the day is really trashed. I mean, it's a bad attitude. And that's normal. We're just humans. But you'll see other folks that make a positive out of it. A bad attitude comes along. Things that you ought to be angry about and upset about. But you come through it and everything's fine. It's very little difference in people. But that difference is a big difference. And that difference is the attitudes of people. Now, I'm not pointing fingers, but I can, from a personal standpoint, I know that I'm kind of a hills and valleys. I want to stay right here all the time. And there are people like that who maintain a good attitude, a level attitude. When you see them, they're not way down here in the bottom. They could eat oatmeal out of a stovepipe or something like that. And they're not sitting up here on the top side. They just maintain a life that's right in here. Their attitude basically is the same. And I admire people like that. But then there are those that have those little experiences that I related to about a broken shoestring, or you spilt your coffee on you, or, you know, just various little things like that. And it kind of sends us off with an attitude problem. And there are little differences in attitude. But the big differences is positive, negative. Positive, negative. We see people, you know, they've always got a positive attitude. We see others, it's always kind of negative about things. Even though life has been good and they've worked through things, they still carry a little bit of negativity. And you see, God will judge not only the hearts, but the action. You think about, we talk about the heart, but that heart dictates a lot, and there's a connection here, as we've talked about, a small thing, about 18 inches between the head and the heart. And that distance makes a great deal of difference many times in regard to attitude. Jude spoke of that in the 15th verse in regard to how we act and the deeds and the ways and the words that we express in that one little verse right there as a text. Three words. Put it plain, it's how our deeds are, it's how committed we are, and it has a whole lot to do with the words or the speech that we have. Those three things are important. But yet, God expects us to discipline our attitudes as well as our actions. You know, they're tied together. Attitude affects actions. Actions will bounce back, affect attitudes. And we want to have a good attitude. We come to the house of God. We're going to worship God. We're going to sing songs of praise to Him. We're going to have a lesson presented to us. We'll have some somebody who will speak on behalf of those who are down and out because of sickness or loss of loved ones, and they're carrying heavy burdens, and it's a difficult time for them. It's a time where decisions have to be made, and yet we think ahead of time and we try to have things in place, and sometimes they don't fall just as we want them to. Sometimes there's conflicts that come in the course of life. And we determine in our mind, this is the way I'd like for these things to be. And then when we get there and say, I'd like to do this and this, and we say, well, you can't have that appointment with the doctor because the doctor himself has had a difficulty. And he is over at the hospital now with a patient there. And so it's going to be a little bit before you can be in to see him. So if you'll wait, he'll be back in a little bit. We don't know exact time. And so, you know, we get a little flustered. It kind of affects our attitude. Well, I had already planned after he saw me and checked out my throat and everything, I want to go to the eye doctor. You know, we kind of plan things on the assumption it's going to run like. Life doesn't run that way, does it? We don't plan on a flat tire. We get up in the morning, all the tires are up, and you know, before we get out of the driveway, what's that thumping, and you get out, this flat tire. Man, that's life. That's the way life is. Getting ready for dinner. You're going to meet someone for dinner, and it's an important client of yours, and you get ketchup on your tire, or you spill coffee on it or something. And those little things affect attitude as we go through life. Well, why do we often fail to think before we act? We think about things, but then here comes action. How dangerous is it for us to act and then think? Sometimes we need to just sit down and begin to reflect, to go through our mind, to work through these things, the actions, the attitude. I need to just calm down. I need to take a deep breath. But many times we force and we push to try to get through and to do things in life. And that can create a problem. How dangerous is it for us to act and then think? Well, we had a study with Mike the other day in regard to a fella named Uzzah. And you know, the Ark of the Covenant, and God said, this is the way it's to be carried, and this is what is to take place. And a man with an action violated something that God said, don't touch it. And he reached out because the animal, the oxen, stumbled a little bit, and it looked like, and he put his hand out and pop, he was struck dead. And we think, oh, that was awful harsh and that was awful cruel. Well, from our perspective, you look at it and say, boy, where is the tolerance? Where's love? But God said, this is the way, and this is what took place there. But we read and look at the story as a whole, and, well, we make our judgments and we make our thoughts in regard to things of that nature. Well, how powerful are our actions? We've got a lot of power. A lot of people watch and see how we respond, how we react to situations in life, whether it be a positive, whether it be a negative. Your doorbell may ring in the morning and they present you with a check that you've won the Honeydew Award of the Year, and it's $10,000, and here you are. And so, boy, what a great day it is. And they come back the next morning ringing your doorbell and you think, hey, I've won some more. They didn't give it all to you. And said, no, we made a mistake. It was the person next door we needed to give this to. And you know, it can change just like that on us, can't it? If we're not careful, our actions, our attitudes. God tells us that our actions are so powerful that we will be known by them. Now you think about that. I have heard folks say, wonder what kind of attitude he'll have when he gets here. And Steve, I refer to your dad a lot because he influenced me greatly, and I don't try to embarrass or anything, but he was the master of stories and true experiences. And he had been to Memphis one time, Brother North had, and the word had already traveled back that some of the brethren had picked on him down there. And he came in that morning, and he was on top side, and everybody, you know, I think about Jane and Shirley in particular. Oh, Brother North. He said, oh, if they knew Brother North, they'd love him. Oh, it was, and he just had that top side about him. He didn't come in just all down and out, but he had to have, he's human. He had to have days like that. But his actions and his attitude was very impressive. And we could all tell stories about that. I tell you one that happened to me that was kind of funny. I was anxious to get someplace one time in Anderson Lane. And the lady in front of me, she just kept dabbling around and dabbling around. And there was no way to get by her. And then finally we get down to the red light. And the light did cooperate. And she pulled out like that. And I whipped around to the side. And I looked over and I thought, boy, that's Lena Doss over there. Some of you may know Lena. And Lena looked at me and shook that finger at me like that. And you know, I didn't want to go to church Wednesday night. Because I knew Lena, my actions, and her reaction to me. And she never let me forget that, you know. I don't go around, she'd say, come on up and pick up some pears. You know, she'll have that pear tree up there, and won't you come up and make some preserves? Only she wants me up there to say, you remember that time? And I say, can't you put that to rest and forget about it? No, that was too much fun, you know. So we have those who don't let us forget our actions and how we react sometimes to situations. God tells us about the power of that. Consider just how powerful your actions are. Sometimes we don't think about our actions. We deny some things about ourselves. We need to just slow down, look in the mirror. Sometimes we need to just reflect upon things. Sometimes we need to go to individuals and say, you know, my actions are the way my attitude was. I apologize for that. But you know, that's just not a given thing. It's something we don't really care to do or to get into sometimes. But you know, actions and attitude communicate a whole lot about who we are and how we deal with things. And we all know and can single out individuals that have influence in our life, and it's based upon their outward behavior and how they deal with things. Another funny story that I thought was unusual, many of you remember Miss Martha Uffelman. She was Beatty, is what I always knew her by, because she was a principal at AMCWI. And she was really a tough, hard lady on everybody. She didn't play fair, even Brother North. And there was a large bus load of folks who came in from Parkersburg, West Virginia, to look at the Madison congregation and the programs and things. And Brother North was Brother North, and he had been out that morning before church, and apparently he had walked around out in the lot there, and he had mud and maybe some other stuff on his feet and everything, but that was Brother North. And Martha came up, excuse me, Miss Uffelman, she came up and said, I want you to look at those shoes. Here you are, the preacher, and everybody look. And he said, Martha, Martha, look up, honey. Don't look down. Look up. Look up, Martha. Look up. And that was the way he dealt with situations like that. You know, if we just think or we try to do something of a positive nature and she just stormed off and everything, you know, that would be her. But I think about people and the influence and the power of influence that we have in the lives of individuals. Our actions can rob us of our reward of heaven. Actions. We can act in such a way that it can rob us of our reward of a place called heaven. James 2:17, Galatians 5:19 through 21. our actions can also be our salvation. By the way we act, by the way we conduct ourselves, whether it be here at the building or away from the building. Actions and attitudes are very important for us. Our actions show us how foolish we can be and how unwise we can be many times. But also there can be the flip of it, how good we can be and how wise we can be in regard to our action. And sometimes we just need to back off. You know, we get uptight sometimes and we make this fist. And we, you know, that's the way we are inside. Now you make a fist and you just see how long you can hold that fist so tight. You reach a point where you have to relax and let that. And sometimes we need to just kind of, because of actions or attitudes of others toward us, or because of the mentalness of what we are right now, we need to just back off, sit down. Maybe you get out to the car and you just need to sit there and absorb everything, cool off, relax, don't be so tense, don't get so worked up about things. As many have said, this too shall come to pass. You may think it's going to, whatever it is that troubles you and you're uptight about, you just have to let it pass. This too shall come to pass. And sometimes we get, I don't know. But there's so many passages. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now you think about it, that's a powerful passage of Scripture right there. And I don't know if you work with your grandchildren or work with your children in teaching them verses of Scripture to remember. And you know, when they're young and you can really impress them, and I can remember my dad saying, Norman, if you'll do this and this, then I will do this and this. And so he would challenge in regard to certain behavior. Well, it went along fine, but then I'd come home and mother say, I know who you've been with. And she would. Mothers can sense and know that. And dads can too. Dad say, well, I know who you've been out with. I know what you've been doing. And we as parents recognize that. Why? Because we see an attitude or we see an action within our children and we realize company or individuals' influence in their lives. And if it happens to them, it can happen to us. You think about the crowd or the people you get into. I tell you a funny story one time. Years ago, I worked at DuPont for a little window of time there. And it was in an area where you had to push frames around and so on like that. And here's a big break area. But to cut to the chase, here were all of these older women and everything. And this young lady came up and she just popped off about very certain things like that. And kind of gave them a little put down. But you know, they were so polite and kind to her. And the way they dealt with her, she left really flustered about everything. Now, they could have really popped her good. In fact, one of them did about a day or two later, I guess, thought it through and said, I'm going to go ahead and say this to her. But you know, sometimes we do. We can't keep a fist and we can't, even though someone younger is telling someone older. But sometimes it needs to be turned around. How many times have our children said, Dad, I remember my children telling Dad and Mom on me one time coming back from Tulsa. We drove pretty fast to get in here because we wanted to get there by Christmas and everything. And the first thing out of Sherry and Ginger's mouth was, you, Dad, Granddaddy, you know how fast Daddy was going across Arkansas down there. He was way over the mark. And I said, girls, where you were, wasn't you, Daddy? You know, I guess they thought my daddy would pull his belt off and whip me right there in front of them, you know. But I think a lot, I've never forgotten it, have I? Why? Because of the influence of my actions And then one day, you know, they were old enough to learn to drive. And they could say, Dad, you remember that time you was going across Arkansas? You know, it comes back to get us sometimes, doesn't it? And so we have to watch what our actions, our attitudes are. Acting out of the right motive. Sometimes you think it through, and this is something to consider. Acting out of right motives. Acting out of a proper time. Is this the right time for me to take action in regard to an issue? Sometimes we need to be slow to think and to react in regard to things. Ecclesiastes addresses that issue, a right time to do things. There's a time to be born, there comes that time of death. There comes a time that we're happy, there comes a time when we are sad. That's life. And it goes through all of the issues. And then he says, you know, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in his toil. This is a gift of God. God does it so men will reverence. Powerful passage. It's one of my favorite, it has become to be, because there's so much to be. It's the contrast of life. We have good days, we have bad days. We have times that are difficult for us to maintain. And so we've got to watch our actions, we've got to watch our attitude, because people look at us to see how we deal with and how we cope with those things. We need to learn to act upon our faith. James 2:22 talks of a lot of faith verses there about that. Titus 1:15 is we've kind of used as a text and everything. The balance of the Christian life. That's what we're looking about, maintaining that balance. And the world notices how we behave and how we do and what our actions are. And we have to be very inward to look and see how my behavior is. Was I rude there? How was I? And then there is this thing about in our wisdom, acting with the wisdom. Do you pray for wisdom sometimes? Do you go to God in prayer and say, God, I need some wisdom. I need some help right here. Insight in how I'm going to deal. And I want to deal with good actions. I want to deal with a good attitude in regard to what I'm looking at. And you know, attitude and action is something very obvious to see within people. Your actions, your attitude. Parents, how many times have you spoken to your children and said, you know, I don't appreciate your attitude today. You've got a bad attitude. And you need to get your attitude together. So why don't you go to your room and sit there. When you get your attitude right, then you come back out and we'll discuss some issues here. And you know, as parents sometimes, or even as grandparents, we need to look at our attitude. We need to ask God for some wisdom in regard to these areas. And I wonder how many times, and I talk about myself many times, Norm, you needed some wisdom here. Did you take this up with God? Did you pray about that? And did you see, God doesn't always just send you a note or you find it in the Bible. I think He deals with the heart and with the mind of individuals. You know, they're connected right there. And sometimes He puts us at ease in regard to a situation. And sometimes, you know, He just, through our emotion, and we say, you know, I just can't bring my, maybe pride's in the way. Maybe He wants to spend more time praying about how we're going to act, how we're going to deal with this situation. And we need to pray about things. Sometimes we just need to walk off and leave it alone. I've known my parents to do that. They addressed the issue and they said, we want you to think about this and we'll come back and deal with that after you've thought about what we shared with you. And then that time comes and says, what do you think about that, Norman? How do you feel about that now? Well, I wish I hadn't done that. Okay, that's good. What is going to be your action in regard to that attitude? Well, I need to go back and make those things right. Isn't that true within the church? Sometimes we get crossways with each other within the family of God. And we need to make those things right. Our attitude. We need, God, give me some wisdom to know how to approach this. I've offended somebody. I've created a problem here. I've talked too much. Or I've been too open about issues. And I should have just been quiet. That was the action. Just zip it and hush. Think it through. Action, go to that person or go to those folks. See, that's why many times people come down here and they say, actions, attitude. I need some help. Pray for me to get through. May not be with the congregation. It may be where you work. It may be in your neighborhood. But you think about that. A lot of things we say, you know, I wished I hadn't have done that, or I wish I hadn't done this, or I wish I'd have done this. I wish I'd have stepped up. And so we need to really work on issues. The acting of love. Now, I want you to think about love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God's love. God's patience. God, He had attitude sometimes. He got pretty agitated about some folks being in the temple one time, and He just kind of took some action, didn't He? But we look at the Lord and we see the things of His actions and of His love and of His wisdom. And as we grow older, we grow in wisdom and knowledge and in grace as we go through life. Isn't grace a wonderful word? It is. Boy, I'm glad sometimes my folks administered grace when I didn't deserve grace. You know, it was very powerful in regard to those kinds of things in life. Acting with the knowledge we have. Do you learn from the experiences in life? Now think about that. I wish I hadn't said that. Okay. If you wish you hadn't, do you think you would say that again? Not maybe to that person, or react the same way in a similar situation. Did you learn enough for that I'll learn to keep my mouth shut? I'll learn not to be so opinionated, or I'll learn not to say some things. And I've known people to come to me and say, you know, I was at church and this one kid was just being a terror right here. And I just told her, I said, you know, if that was my child, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, she realized, that's her boy. And I'm telling her, gets kind of embarrassing, doesn't it, in a situation like that. Well, maybe it should have been spoken and maybe she should have taken action there. But you see, sometimes we react and sometimes our actions and sometimes you say, no, you're wearing us out on this. Well, it's because you wait and see. You won't be far down the road and you'll react to something or your actions will be spontaneous and you'll say, I wish I hadn't done that. Not because I said it. You see, we're looking at God's Word right here. This is God's Word. And we say, well, look what the Lord did here and look what the Lord did. Yeah, but He is God Almighty. He's omnipotent. And if we study and look at the context of it, then we understand and we see better. Galatians 6:4 says, let every man prove his own works. And we know people by their fruits, by their works, by what they do. Everyone notices everybody in here, and we see these folks. You look what a meek and quiet spirit this person has, or you look at this person over here and what they do and how they serve the Lord. And we all have a part, and it takes all of us together, actions and attitude to blend together. We've all got different personalities. We've all got little habits. Now you think about that. Sometimes habit or action, attitude, kind of agitates us, doesn't it? But we need to be kind, tender-hearted, and loving one to another and taking care of them. Well, there's all kinds of things and stories that we could tell to illustrate, but actions, as my mother would always say, speak louder than words. Our actions speak very loud about us, and our attitude does too. So we have to suck it in, live right, do right, and work on these things. And you say, well, it's not hardly fair. It seems like that I'm the one that always gives in here. And I really believe, well, I think those kinds of issues, if brought and put right here in perspective, we can deal with them within the family. We can have a little family meeting, and we can talk this out. We can work this out. And sometimes, you know, I look back at the parents and I think what great grace they had toward me in some issues. But you know, sometimes you don't have to take action because we already know from what we've done, I made a bad mistake here. My actions were not appropriate. God loves us. He wants what's best for us. I did a little research. This has not a whole lot to do with, but in the book of Joshua, the 8th chapter, there were actions by a man named Achan. And you know, Achan, with his actions, they were told in the battle, don't bring back. But he got that golden, and he got other things, and he brought them back, and he hid them in his tent. Now you read that in the 8th chapter of Joshua. It's a very interesting story. But the bottom line, not just him, but his whole family was penalized. And in my mind, you see God have a big bonfire right there. And that may have been the first time of cremation. I don't know, but they were all burned and buried. Now you think about that, because God said, don't do it. They did it. Their attitude toward God Almighty, the action that they took, and the heavy penalty that was paid there. Old Testament story. But we can look through there and we can see those kinds of things. And I don't know if I've shared this with you or not. This on a lighter side. Always be sincere, even if you got to fake it. Let's have a prayer. Father, this morning for your love and grace, we just thank you. We thank you for the gift of memory. We thank you for just the way we're made up as individuals. But Father, our hearts go out to the family here. I think about the McMahon blessing they've been through the years for the church. And they're going through a tough time, and I pray for Debbie and the children. But I thank you for Rick and his influence for good and for the good deeds. But likewise, Father, I see the Botts family, and I pray for Nancy and the children, and I ask your blessing to be there. They have to make decisions. They have to look at some things. And hopefully that's what they're doing this morning as they gather to discuss where do we go from here? How do we handle? A lot of decisions to be made. And I pray that you will bless them as they make those decisions and give them directions. And Father, as we journey through life, we do have attitude problems. We do have problems in regard to how we act and behave sometimes. But give us courage and faith conviction to live right and do right, that one day heaven will be our home. In Jesus' name, amen.